Hello, everyone, and welcome into Debate Night. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Brody and Silas. Joined by Brody in California this time around. Santa Cruz, right, Brody?
Santa Cruz, baby.
You're there for the Masters Cup.
It is expensive.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like over six out there, right?
Yeah, I think it's like $650.
It just broke back into four here. For like 10. That's
I just had like a normal Chipotle burrito, $14.
Holy cow. Back on. All right. Well, before we get into too much, I do want to talk briefly. We talked about this on Grip Locked a little bit, but I wanted to, you know, we hit a slightly different audience here, and I wanted to take a moment to thank everyone for making this past weekend a huge success. We had Foundation versus the Nation and then the in-person store grand opening. That's actually why we're a few minutes late here, is I was just shutting down the in-person store for today. We were open 12 to 8, and I was closing down shop. So, yeah, huge thanks to anyone who might be listening that was in town this weekend. Some of you stood in line over 2 hours in the rain to come into our store, which is unbelievable. Way more than we ever could have expected or hoped, and we can't thank you all enough, and we can't wait to do more events and drops like that. Which, speaking of drops, the time has arrived. Raptorious, a Z-Swirl Metallic.
Do you have
Raptor.
Any on you?
I have a box 2 feet to my right. This is going to be unprofessional, but I'm leaving the scene.
Yeah, grab some real quick. I've got I think my discs have just arrived as well. And I'm going to do some field work tomorrow, so there's a good chance I might put one of these bad boys in my bag for this week, which I'll be very excited about.
These feel incredible. So they're Z-Swirl Metallic Raptors. They feel really stiff, board flat. They feel like they're going to be very overstable. Trevor and I are going to go out and throw them tomorrow to see if that's true. We'll have a disc review coming out. But yeah, this is the one a lot of people are freaking out over. It's got a little Wonder Bread purple, green, blue action going on to it. There's several black on black with like the metallic shine. Pretty sick disc. These will be dropping on foundationdisc.com this Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. You're not going to want to miss that. And this one's got money foil. That's pretty sick too.
Yeah, I think. Oh, there's a money foil one?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Oh, heck yeah.
Pretty
sick. Yeah, those came
sick.
Out awesome.
Yeah, board flat.
I'm definitely hoping that they are decently overstable because
they feel like they're going to be. But you believe that you can't feel a disc and tell what it's going to be. So don't take my word on that.
I don't believe that at all. I feel like you have to feel
I feel like these are going to be overstable Raptors. So when they come in, if they're flippy, you have every right. I will 100% believe you. Because this Raptor in my hand feels overstable. So if it comes in and it flips for you, then I will be on team Brody. You can't feel it.
Yeah, I'm going to throw them tomorrow, so we'll see.
Yeah, you'll have to text me and let me know.
We'll see how they fly. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for it.
It's our first drop in a long time.
Yeah, those have been a disc in the making. Shout out to our designer for hooking us up with a sick design on that bad boy.
Yeah.
Came out awesome. Loved it. And it seems like the people... So far, the reception for it seems awesome. So hopefully you guys enjoy it as well and are able to pick one up this Friday. So
yeah, super stoked about that. As always, Patreon, I believe it's the highest tier, will get early access to that. They'll get 5-10 minutes to go in and make sure they can pick out their color and stamp combo they want and all of that. So if you're interested in that, you can head over to Foundation or patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf and check out all the tiers. There's plenty of benefits to go around, but I know that's one that a lot of people around drop time get real excited about.
Is this our first big drop with being able to select the disc?
It might be.
We didn't do it on the Rocket Roaches, and I feel like that was the last drop.
Yeah, I'm not. Only one I could think of is if we ever did like the Crystal Sparkle Undertakers. You technically could because they were just Z. So that did we sit them by stamp? That I don't know. These will be sorted by stamp and color, and then you know, some of them like black on black ones that aren't really swirly, that'll just be one color category, and then swirls, from what I understand, are going to be in like It's going to be called Freaky, but you'll be able to see the exact one. So this will be like Freaky 1, Freaky 2, Freaky 3, so on and so forth. So you'll be able to see your color and stamp combo, and you'll always, you know, be able to pick like black on black and your weight. So pretty stoked for that. Again, that's Friday, 5 p.m. But Brody, gotta hear. I've been waiting for this moment for quite a while, because Trevor and I last year got a bunch of hate because we Masters Cup was going on. It was an NT, and we came out and said that we just didn't like De La as a tour course. We didn't feel like it belonged on the tour, and overall, we felt like it just wasn't that great of a pro level course. We said it looked like a lot of fun. It looked like something we would want to play as just, you know, people who've been in disc golf for a long time, but it didn't look like a course that we felt should be on the pro tour. And a lot of people who've been in disc golf a long time came after us, flamed us because of the history. So what I'm super excited about is you're one of the few people who's been playing on tour, is still relatively new to disc golf when you compare yourself to like the majority of the field. And you get to see De La with like a fresh set of eyes where you don't have the like bias of history and stuff like that. So I've got to know, fresh set of eyes, what is De La like? What do you think of the course out there? The disc golf course, that is.
So, yeah, because we haven't played the golf course yet. The golf course isn't open until tomorrow.
When does the tournament start? Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have 2 days on there.
We get 2 days on the golf course, yeah. After 3 o'clock too. So you're really only going to get one round for 2 days, but I think that should be fine.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've been, this might be the first course that I've been to where if you say something bad about it, regardless of whether it's, you know, there's merit behind it or not, people come after you.
Oh yeah.
I always try to relate it to other sports and try to think of like, does that happen in other sports too, of where it's like there are either stadiums or arenas or golf courses or fields or whatever it is where events take place.
Yeah.
Or if you say something negative about it, like the fan base is like just comes after you. I will say it is interesting too, because you either see people on one end of the spectrum or the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I have yet to really find anyone. And we just posted our practice round video earlier today. So I've been getting some, you know, comments from the practice round, and people either say this course is the greatest course ever and they love it, or people are saying like what you guys were saying, I don't see how this is on the pro tour. It's not that great of a course. So obviously me coming into it, I don't know any history about disc golf. Like I'm seeing everything pretty much like you said, with a brand new perspective.
Yeah. Fresh set of eyes.
And yeah. And you know, it's one thing for someone to come up to you and be like, yeah, this course has such history, so much, it's so iconic, it has this, but if you're just telling me that right away and I don't really have like years of like having that nostalgia build up or anything like that, it kind of just goes in one ear and out the other, right? I will say that this course is definitely unique. It is unlike any course I've played on tour before, so definitely unique in that aspect. Now, should it, this is where it's tricky. Like, should it be on the Disc Golf Pro Tour? Well, completely remove the actual course itself, like as far as the layout and how it plays.
Okay.
The reception there is not great.
Yeah.
The parking's pretty terrible. And there's a lot of holes that are blind. So as far as spectating goes, it's not great at spectating. So It definitely makes a lot of sense of why it's a Silver Series this year and not an Elite Series, because they could not, I don't think they can do live there. I don't think the reception is good enough up there.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Now they did switch from 27 or 24 holes that has been in the past to 18. I wonder if that was a Disc Golf Pro Tour kind of, hey, we, you guys got to play 18 holes. And they also removed a couple holes. You know, I've played with Ezra, so I'm just kind of hearing it from him. The holes they removed are a couple holes that really caused a lot of backups because they either like were crisscrossing with other holes they removed the one hole where it's like you're just throwing what looks like into a bunch of trees and you don't really know where
the fridge hole. Is that what that's called? Or is the fridge hole still there?
No, that might be it. Yeah, because I heard some people complaining about them taking out the fridge hole.
Okay, so that's probably it.
That might be it. And so those holes caused apparently a lot of backups, is what Ezra was telling me. So I think that's probably a positive to remove some of the holes that are causing the most backups out there. And I'll say this. There are some holes that I really like, are really cool technical shots. But a lot of holes too, where you're having to like control the height of the disc.
And
maybe some holes where you have to like use ground play, which is great. There are maybe a couple too many holes, and it's always tough to like, you know, because people are going to be on me and get upset at me and all this stuff. Like, it's a lot better if I have like criticism for the course after the tournament.
No, yeah, for sure.
Especially if you play well, right? If you play well at a tournament and then have criticism, I feel like people take it a lot better than when you start criticizing a course before.
Yeah.
But for me, I think there might be one or two mini holes that are blind shots. So it's like you can't see the basket. You can't see some of the trees that you have to miss. And there might be a couple holes too where there might not be the greatest line to the basket, but it's a par three course. It's a 18 hole par three, par 54, par three course. And I don't think you can get much better than what it is. Like this is what a par three course is going to be.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that's what's missing. You know, I think it's missing the par fours. It's missing the par fives, but for what it is, It's a good par three course. Now, would I enjoy playing this course? Probably not, because the amount of, and again, it doesn't have anything to do with the layout. It's more just like the fact that your disc can get caught in trees a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Your disc can roll away. Like we lost one of Ezra's discs today because he threw an upshot. And we saw it roll over the hill.
Oh, geez.
and we looked for it for about 10 minutes.
And it's just gone.
Never found it. We passed a group of like four or five guys that were just like on the cliff looking for a disc. So it's very similar to like the complete opposite, like Memorial, right? And again, this is what I'm saying. It's not, it has nothing to do with it being a wooded course. Memorial is another course that a lot of people hate, right? They're like, it's hyzers. They don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like Memorial as a course to practice because you throw a bunch of discs in the water. So both courses completely different in the sense of like how their layouts are. But when you're just practicing them, I don't know, you know, obviously it's scenic and I'm sure there's a lot of people that like it for that reason. But when I play disc golf, like that's not really the reason why I'm out there as much. So for me, I'd probably find a course in the area where I'm not having to look for my disc a bunch and not potentially have discs like roll off the cliff. But I can see the appeal. I can definitely see why some people think it's their favorite course and they love it. And I don't know. That's kind of my take on it.
So we'll have to get another check-in next week after you've had the tournament there.
I think if you would have asked me this question like 6 months ago, I would have given you a much different answer.
Okay.
Because
that's fair.
I feel like where I am right now, it's like I'm much better at being okay with, you know, having discs roll away, being okay with hitting a late tree that you didn't see and having to deal with that. Like, we're all playing the same course. Stuff's going to happen. We're playing it two rounds. Stuff is going to happen to everyone. It's going to be about how you manage it and how you overcome the bad breaks.
Yeah. But now I do got to ask, you had mentioned, you know, playing the course, disc get caught up in trees, stuff like that. One of the big things that happened is they've removed the 2 meter rule going into this event. Now that you've played the course a few times, do you see any lines that you feel like you're able to go up over the top and possibly break the course in some ways that, you know, you might not have had there been the 2 meter rule? Or is it just tough because you haven't played the course with the 2 meter rule in effect before?
I could see how like hole three, I might throw a straight shot versus like a hyzer spike forehand right now. I could see that maybe. I could see a couple holes maybe, but at the same time, it's like that's where you kind of roll the dice because the percentage of you getting a birdie goes way up throwing the over the top shot. But the percentage of you obviously getting it stuck in a tree goes up as well. But it's like, I'd rather probably play those odds than play the odds of not getting the birdie as, you know, the percentage of getting a birdie much lower. But at least I'm not getting it stuck in the tree. I don't know. They might have taken out some of those holes. Those might be more of the holes. There's not really that many holes that I'm just chucking up and like crashing it into trees.
Yeah. I guess more so the 2 meter rule being gone on some of the like low ceiling technical shots removes your worry of height control, if that makes sense. Cause like before, like now it's a bad break if you hit a tree and get stuck in it to a certain degree, but before it was a really bad break because not only are you now stuck in a tree shorter than where you wanted to be a lot of times, but you also had a stroke for no reason, more or less.
Yeah, I think it's hole four. It's a forehand roller hole.
Yeah.
I think that's literally the only shot that you can actually get close to the basket. And Ezra's ended up hitting a tree early, and he went for like a high because if you're so far back, there really isn't a line to the basket. So he went like a high stall shot with a putter and ended up getting stuck up in a tree near the basket. So like that obviously would have been unfortunate. Would he have gone low if the 2 meter was in play? Like, I don't know. I'm taking out the 2 meter rule is a good thing. You already have enough, like roots are all over the place, tons of hillsides, a lot of blind shots. So you already have a lot of variability with how the whole course is going to play.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to add another element of whether or not your disc stays in a tree or falls out.
Yeah, there's no need to just add more randomness to it. All right, well, yeah, I'm definitely curious once you've played some tournament rounds out there if your perspective on it changes at all. And I'm also curious what the golf course is like, but we'll have to kind of hear that next week after you get a chance to play it. What do you think scores will be like out at De La on the disc golf course side at least? So through two rounds, where do you think the leader will be?
Yeah, before I say that,
yeah.
I think this will be an interesting tournament to see how people view it, because it's a way different experience. Me and Ezra just played a practice round, threw multiple shots on multiple holes, looked for discs on multiple holes, and played in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, we came from DDO where you do the same exact thing and not even look for discs, and you're out there for 3.5.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what people think about playing a par three course where every shot you're trying to get into circle versus, you know, having those par fours, par fives where you're making placement shots and stuff like that. It'll be interesting. But as far as scores go, I think Ezra was saying like double digits last year was pretty solid.
Was that on 24 or that 18?
I think I was on 24. Okay. I think I was on 24. I think this might be the first time on tour they've done 18 at this course. Okay. I could be wrong, obviously.
Yeah.
But it seems like this is like a big change going to 18 holes. I think if you're a couple under par, like if you're 5, 6, I think that puts you in a mix.
Okay.
After day one. I think the leaders will probably be close to 10. And then, yeah, I think like if you're around like anywhere from, I would say 12 to 17 going into Sunday, you're probably in a good spot.
Gotcha. Yeah, it'll depend obviously a lot on what the golf course plays, if there's a lot of separation out there or not. But all right, so like 17, 18 is gonna be the lead, is what you're saying.
Like I felt like I played pretty decent today. I got all the easy holes because there are a handful of holes that are like less than 300 feet that you feel like, oh man, I gotta have a putt at this one at least for. So I think I shot 6 or 7 today. So I felt like I played pretty well. Like I didn't have any bogeys. I didn't have any bad rollaways. I didn't have any missed putts inside a circle. So like I played very well and I shot 6 or 7. So for me, like, if I can do that both days, I think I feel like I'll be very happy if I'm 12 or 14 under. But we'll see. You know,
obviously just take what the course gives
change
you
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, there's a good chance I'm over par after 2 rounds.
Yeah. That's
right. I might be up.
At daylight, you never
four
know.
Over.
At daylight, you never
yeah,
know.
I might be up 4 over.
I guess that's a funny thing, too, is like it doesn't get said as much anymore. But for a while, daylight was like, It was used as like a verb in disc golf. Like if you had a bad rollaway, it was like you got daylawed. Like that was something that commentary team said and stuff like that.
People still say it out here.
Yeah.
So like, I had a really good shot. I had a really good shot on this one blind hole, and Ezra's like, "That's parked," and I'm like, "All right, well, that felt good." And then we got up and we couldn't find the disc, and it was on one of the holes that you know some of the local people were playing, and they were looking for discs, and they're like, "Oh yeah, it's like way down here." And I'm like, "What?" It was like, I mean, it was 70 or 80 feet right of where we thought the disc was going to be.
Oh geez.
And then another guy was like, "Yeah, bad kick, man. You hit that stump right there and it just shot down the hill and rolled." And I was like that, I mean, right there, that conversation, if you took what Ezra said to me on the tee pad and then what these guys said to us once we got up there, that is pretty much daylaw in a nutshell of where you're like, yeah, perfect shot. And then you get up there and it's like, sorry, man, 80 feet down the hill. And you're like, ah, all right. Well,
yeah. I
try to make this putt.
I would struggle with that. I would struggle with that, but all right.
And for that, it's going to be a mental battle. Like it's a completely different mental battle than what we went through at DDO with the wind. But it's going to be a mental battle because you will not play. It's going to be very hard for you to play around where something like that doesn't happen.
Where everything goes your way somehow. Break. Yeah.
And I feel like if you get on that negative train of where you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so unlucky today. Everything's going bad.
Yeah.
You're more likely to put yourself in those positions where more bad things could happen to you.
Yep. No, for sure. For sure. Got to keep somehow. You have to keep positive in the midst of being daylawed multiple times around. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. This could be the first debate topic that we might actually debate over in quite a while on this show, which is fun.
Heck yeah.
You probably know it's coming. The world rankings that have been published on FDNSports.com. If you haven't had a chance, they actually just got updated today. Not a lot of movement.
Did I move at all?
No, there wasn't much movement. Let me look at you. There wasn't much movement because pretty much all that happened was a challenge at Goat Hill. Yeah, you stayed the same. Biggest notable move was Alden Harris bumped up into 22nd, getting close to that top 20 mark. And also Chris Dickerson makes and sense. Calvin Heimberg flipped. Dickerson moved up one. Not sure if he played. I would assume one of them played. Maybe Calvin played and lost or something. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what exactly happened. But a little bit of movement. Not too much. So I think that Trevor and I have... I think we've discovered something that's missing in disc golf to an extent. And I think you'll actually agree with this. It's because we disagree on world rankings, kind of how they should be, because I want more recency bias, as does Trevor. And you kind of, because that's, we're coming more from like.
Yeah, but your guys' recency bias is trash.
Well, okay. Well, I wouldn't say trash.
You had Eagle in the top 5.
Well, no, Eagle, we said, do we even put him in the top 10? Because like when you have an injury, what do you do with a guy like that?
No, don't even look at his injury. Look at what he's done this year. He's not in the top 5 this year.
No, in my opinion, Eagle just shouldn't be on the list, period, because he's injured. You don't know where he's at. Like, you don't know what he's capable of because he's injured.
Okay.
But regardless, I think that what it is that we're missing is people are using us included, using the world rankings as power rankings.
Yes.
There's not a good disc golf power ranking. That's what I want. I want a power ranking. Screw world rankings. World rankings suck. I want a power ranking. That's what I want.
Yeah, you guys are treating it more like how the UFC does rankings, of where it's like the number 12 guy fights the number 4 guy and beats him and then jumps up like 6 spots.
No, I don't want it to be like that drastic, but I don't want it to be like you did good at Worlds 11 months ago, and so now you're still going to be in the top 20 for no reason. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So that's where I want power rankings. That's what I want. I don't want world rankings. I think world rankings are cool, and I think that they should exist.
How far back is too far back?
For what, power or world rankings?
Your power rankings.
Power rankings, I think we go like... I think that you go like the most recent 6 tournaments are weighed super heavily, and then you don't consider anything outside the top 15, most recent 15 tournaments.
So would you have been fine with Luke Humphreys being like number 2 player in the world in like week 3?
In the power rankings, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where we need a separation, because he would have never been world number 2.
No.
But no. Power rankings, he would have been
at the time. Yeah, at the time, like he, there was arguably no one having a better season than Luke Humphreys.
Yeah,
it was either like week 3 or week 4, something like that.
Now you would have to factor in like started 6 tournaments back, so Luke Humphreys probably would have never quite got to like number 2, because like,
well, that makes no sense. Why would you go all the way back to the off season, like past the off season?
Well, it would just be the first few tournaments of the year. You'd have to do that because like, you'd probably have to come out with, what it really be is you'd have to come out with a preseason one, and you had to base it on that until you had 6 tournaments this year or something along those lines. Because like, you don't want it to go
you
into last season.
You know how bad those rankings. Yeah, my only thing is like, the preseason rankings for like college football are absolutely abysmal.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to come up with a way.
It's doing a lot of things. I know, but it's doing a lot of things. I think what you guys really want.
There's power rankings. I want power rankings.
No, you want the eye test. You want
that's people, what that would be power rankings. Power rankings would meet the eye test.
Yeah. Notre Dame is never a top 5 team. Ever.
No, I don't care about that.
The top 5 at the beginning of the season.
No. Okay. But that's you're pulling sports that would never translate well to disc golf. Because the reason Notre Dame like starts as like a top 5 team or whatever is because they're powerhouse school, their strength of schedule, blah, blah, blah. Then they get wrecked, but then you have a school like UCF or whatever they were, where they can go undefeated, but they never play a big school. Week in and week out, disc golfers are playing each other. When
that is true.
When Drew Gibson wins a pro tour, he beat Alabama, Clemson, they were all there.
No, you
know what I'm saying?
You're right on that.
So
you're right on that.
Power rankings when applied to disc golf would work, because you wouldn't like it, the initial preseason. Yeah, that would kind of suck. You know, should I pull up our preseason rankings? Did we come out with them this year?
Oh yeah, do that and see what it is.
Let's see what happens.
I think what you're going for is not like a bad, is not bad. I just think what you're going for is you're going for like who's trending right now.
That's what I'm saying. Power rankings. Yeah, I want it split.
Yeah, who's playing good right now?
Well, it's because we keep using world rankings, and world rankings and power rankings shouldn't be the same thing.
The only thing, though, all I'm going to say is the only thing with your ranking system that, it, you know, it's interesting to see what people would want to see. Your ranking system would fluctuate drastically tournament to tournament, because you're only picking the last 6 tournaments or so. So yeah. You could have someone like I'm trying to think who's like done well the last couple tournaments.
Well, you would still factor in. They're like past, you know, the 11 or 12 tournaments past that, they would just be weighed like half.
Why?
To get it accurate. Well, so you can't have a.
It's almost pointless though.
No, because it's the same thing of in.
When it's weighed that little, someone coming, you know, someone that's in 50th and then rattles off a first, a fifth, a 10th, like at the end of that stretch,
they're going to be able to sneak 50, in the top 20, which they should.
It might be in the top 10.
No. I'd have to set up the math on how to weigh it, but I'm saying like, if we go back to basketball, like you were using earlier, if the number, an unranked team beats the number 1 team and like the unranked team is kind of on the bubble. They might sneak into like 23rd, and the number one team might drop to like 10th.
Well, it depends on where. There is no technically unranked team. Every team is ranked.
They're but I'm saying the top 25. So like the 30th.
They're not in the top 25, they're considered unranked.
The 35th team might hop into like the top 25, and the first place team might drop down to like 12th. But then if the next weekend, and like if you use that for disc golf, the next weekend, the 34th ranked team that's now 23rd loses and goes in 50th, they're just going to go back down. And it's going to be like trending story for a week, and then they're gone. And if this guy that dropped down to like 8th is now wins again, he can pop back up to 3rd or 4th or whatever. But I just I think that's what we want in our heads, but we don't have that yet. And so we have to use world rankings as power rankings. Because like I agree with you, like Luke Humphreys would have never been world number 2. But he could have been the number 2 best player in the world for this season.
So what at about Chris Dickerson?
Isn't that just the disc golf?
I said, what about Chris Dickerson? You know, he's not playing West Coast. Would he just drop from the power rankings and then have to work his way back up?
No, so it would be, you'd have to have a same type of like most of these do, like the ELO system that UDisc uses, like the mathematical equation that Judah uses, where you have like points and stuff to where you're penalized for not playing, but you don't drop off the face of the earth. So like Dickerson, if he does, he's not going to play till July. Let's say that he's right now in third place on Judah's ranking. By the end of July, he might be in like 15th or something like that.
Okay.
But then as soon as he shows back up, it picks up where it was.
Interesting. Okay.
Because you got to have some type of like, you don't show up.
Make some power rankings. I might have to do that.
I'm not smart enough
by any means. Why don't you
just
do that? We've got Judah doing the world rank. Yeah, we got Judah.
I'm
going
to have to figure
rankings.
Out a mathematical equation of some type.
No, I don't even think you go mathematical. I think you and Trevor just sit down.
We just
down
do our gut ones? Oh, heck yeah. Do you want to hear my... Let's go to my preseason top 20. This is actually...
Let's see where you're at.
I'm a fortune teller. Okay. Number one, Ricky Wysocki. Number two, Paul McBeth. Three, Eagle McMahon. Which that one, again, he's injured. So I did put... everything indicates he's going to come back. We won't fully know until we see him back on the course. So I did put him, you know, uncertain.
With an asterisk?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we eliminate Eagle, then we have Dickerson, then Calvin Heimberg. So those, you know, pretty easy to pick those top ones. But they can be interchanged however what you want. Number six, he's definitely let me down. Kyle Klein, put him in there. I wouldn't put him in that range right now.
I don't think he's had that bad of a season, though. But
okay. I wouldn't put him that high. I will say he's seventh in Judah's world ranking. So if we're going straight to Judah's, I'm like almost on the money right now.
He won an event last year and got second at a major.
I'm almost on the money.
When there was only two majors.
Well, Adam Hammes, I put in seventh. I again think he'd be outside the top 10 currently, but
that's a bit high.
Yeah. On Judah's, Hammes is ninth. So far so good. Drew Gibson in eighth. I would agree with that. I think he's still around there. Kevin Jones in ninth. I don't know if I would agree with that, but I think he'd be close to there. He's had some pretty good recent ones. Matty O in 10th. I think you could make an argument for Matty O to be a top 10 player. Vino McKella I put in 11th. I don't really know what he's doing this year. I think that's way, 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 way too high.
He just had a third place finish at DDO.
Never mind. Boom. I'm goated. This is incredible. Where is he on Judah's list?
His list might be not the greatest for Europeans because
he doesn't have
last
him.
Year.
He doesn't have him. So Vine is not even ranked on Judah's list.
Yeah.
Number 12, I have Nate Sexton. He's 40th on Judah's list. Ooh. Okay. So that's something. Joel Freeman in 13th. That one's pretty close. I think you can make an argument for Joel to be a top 10.
I think it's higher than that. Yeah.
14, Andrew Marweed. I don't know what Marweed's done this year. I feel like I haven't heard his name.
I think Marweed's like a second half kind of guy.
Yeah,
like
hopefully.
He really starts picking it up towards this second part of the season. Yeah. He actually probably will do really well at this course. I don't know if he's there.
Yeah. Mason Ford in 15th. I think Mason's probably closer to 20th, but, you know, predicted that. Nicholas Antia, 16th. Again, I'm not sure where Nicholas is at. He's not going to be in Judah's rankings, and that's what I'm using right now. So I don't know where he would fall if he was ranked on there. Gannon Burr, 17th, underrated on my preseason top 20. But I think it might be pretty accurate. Where does he have Gannon? He has him in 13.
Gannon's like low 10.
I put Presnell in 18th. And
he hasn't been playing too well this year.
No, so that one I was off.
He can pop off at any time though.
Okay. Presnell, I think I lied earlier. I think Vino Mikkelo might be on here. It doesn't let me command F search because I just typed in Presnell and I'm looking at his name and it didn't come up. So Presnell's in 30th on Judas. James Conrad in 19th. I'd put him kind of around there. I think he might sneak. I think he could be like 15th or 14th.
You guys are hating on James Conrad for.
He's had a decent season.
All right, he's had a decent season this year.
I'm pulling him up. He's had a decent season. He's a top 20 player. I put him. That's what I'm saying. He's in a decent season's top 20.
He's a higher than top player.
He's went 23rd, 12th, 4th, 11th, 15th, 10th. Okay, I'd put him like 12th.
And he won Worlds last year. He won one of the two majors last year.
I mean, that's last year. This is a power ranking. This is a power ranking. This is currently you're walking up to the course.
Yes.
Where is James Conrad coming? Number 20, I have Nico LeCastro.
He's probably like 12.
I could agree, like 12 to 14 range. I could feel okay with that.
Like just this season alone, he's probably like around 12.
All right. I'm gonna talk to Trevor tomorrow. Trevor and I are getting we joked about it on the podcast. We called it I don't even remember. I made up an acronym for
how foundation. How much different is yours going to be than the tour points? How much different is that? It
shouldn't be different at the end, but right now it kind of will be because again, we're about to not see Chris Dickerson until July.
Oh, so you're basically okay. Yeah.
Or like until there's enough tournaments that the points all start getting dropped out and stuff. Then the Pro Tour rankings can't be accurate quite yet because players aren't picking and choosing what they're playing.
Yeah, you can early season, some people can definitely boost themselves up in tour points by playing every event and other players don't. And then when you start having some of those tournaments drop off because you can only count so many, that's when I think you start seeing some changes. So yeah, that makes sense then. So yours really ultimately should almost in line. Well, no, not really, because at the end of the season, you're not even going to count the beginning of the season.
No. What you did at Vegas won't matter.
James Conrad could be a top 5 player at the end of the season.
Yeah.
If he just plays well towards the end. Because it's like, who cares what he did at the beginning?
Basically, I'm going to just look really heavily at the last 6. Maybe we'll call it like the trending top 25. Because I think
you're going to do 25.
Yeah. Well, you gotta do 25. I mean, you could do top 10, but I mean, the top 10, a lot of times, going to be agreeable. The top 25, like if someone's missing from the top 10, you can be like, okay, well, he's probably like 11th or 12th. If someone's missing from the top 25, then I mean, there's gonna be fist.
They're getting slided.
Yeah, because then you'll start hearing. You know, that's when people will really start coming after Trevor and I, is if we slight someone from the top 25 that they think's a top 10 player. That's where things get electric. Yeah. That's when it gets fun. That's what we did on the preseason top 20. There was one player, I forget who it was. It might have been last year's preseason top 20 I did. I just forgot they existed, to be completely honest. Like, it didn't even cross my mind this player was a person when I was just typing it out. Because I did it fully on just gut. And then if there was one that I was like 50-50 on, I went on to like look at their seasons and compare each other. And I just forgot a player existed. And so I like posted my top 20. And someone was like, are you kidding me? I still don't remember the player. I don't know who it was. They're like, are you kidding me? How is this person not in your top 20? And I was like, what? They definitely are. And then I went, I was like, oh my gosh. That's a top 10 player that I just forgot, or top 15. So that's where things get really fun. Because then I just made up some fake excuse as to why I didn't put them in there. I was like, I don't think they're going to do anything this year. Or something like that. which was very fun. So I'll talk to Trevor. We'll get like a trending top 25 or just... We'll just call it the foundation power ranking or something. You can never have too many rankings, you know? No, you can't.
You can have way too many rankings.
How?
No, you can have as many as you can have as many as you want, well, but people, some people
I could do one it. I could do I one based say, on the color
just
of
aren't gonna care.
Trevor said he was gonna start, he said it on a grip lock that he's gonna start like Twitter account where he just like lists things, like lists people, just puts like 10 disc golfers in a list. And he was originally going to do just like super sarcastic ones. But I was like, no, Trevor, what you should do is you should actually rank like 10 players, but don't tell anyone what the list is. So like each week you put out a new top 10, but you don't say top 10 what. So it could be like top 10 outfits from the past week, but only Trevor knows that. So then people have to guess like, well, what was this top 10? Or it could be top 10 worst outfits in Trevor's opinions. Or I don't know why I'm sticking on outfits, but you know what I mean? I think that'd be funny. You just tweet it and get people riled up.
Top 10 Vans.
Yeah, there you go, Silas. Now you're talking.
Who's living the sweet life?
Of Zach and Cody. Yeah.
Zach and Cody.
You just put random top 10s and let people just kind of figure it out, fight it out in the comments. What are we cool. ranking?
I like that. I can get behind that.
Yeah,
why hasn't he done that yet? That's a great idea.
I don't know. Today's only Tuesday. He said it yesterday. It's been like 36 hours. Yeah, he said on yesterday's grip locked.
No, I haven't watched it. I've been practicing out here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm
trying to learn this course, man.
Yeah, so I think that's the disconnect. I think that world number one in the world rankings should be a lot harder to move up or down. And then I think there needs to be a power ranking of some type that's a lot more just like what to expect of like when people roll up to the course tomorrow.
I had this conversation yesterday over some banana pancakes at this nice little diner down the street here. And I'm curious, what do you guys think? Do you think more people? So the question I posed was this: if there are, let's just say on average, and these numbers are not accurate at all, but on average, let's just say like a million people watch like NFL football games.
Okay.
So each game that happens, a million different people are watching because it's their team, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, do you think more of those people that are tuning in and watching the actual sporting event, do you think there's a bigger percentage for like football, baseball, basketball, whatever? Do you think there's a bigger percentage of those fans that tune in to like all the extra content? So like podcasts like this, journalistic things on ESPN, all that, or like compared to disc golf. Like, what do you think the percentage is between like, are more disc golfers just like, I like watching footage of playing and I don't want to consume anything else? Or do you think there are same or different? Like, what do you think? Like,
That's a tough one.
It's not a tough one.
Because
I don't think it's
tough. What's the answer?
What do you think, Silas?
I know. I think you're either all in or you're all out.
In disc golf.
Yeah.
No. Well, yeah, that's what we're saying. Are there more people that are all in compared to other sports?
Yeah, so he's saying
compared to other sports.
So like football the percentage
of people that the percentage. You gotta go off of the percentage.
Yep.
Well, I think where the difference falls in is I'll listen to podcasts sometimes before I watch sports. So like part of my take, for instance, during the football season is essentially a football podcast, more or less. That's 90% of their episode. I will listen to that like every Monday or whatever. Like when I was going to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I was listening to part of my take Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I was consuming zero football on the weekends. So I feel like there's a greater chance of people watching SportsCenter, listening to sports podcasts in general that cover football and stuff, than like you're not listening to a disc golf podcast unless you're watching disc golf, period. Like no one's listening to Grip Locked or Debate Night and not watching or at least knowing what's going on during the Pro Tour. But I know I'm not the only person that'll listen to a basketball podcast and I don't know the score of the game before I listen to the podcast, where they like talked, they broke it down or whatever, or I watch SportsCenter and that's how I figure out what happened with, because I'm not a diehard pro sports fan with anything really. I'm a much bigger college basketball fan, just Duke. But beyond Duke, like I'll turn on a game at night sometimes, but I'm not like pursuing watching college basketball nonstop. And so I'll like, during college basketball season, I'll listen to a podcast or two that'll like tell me the main storylines and stuff. I think there's a lot more people in the mainstream sports that follow sports that way than there are disc golf people who like watch disc golf occasionally, but listen to podcasts to like get all that, if that makes sense.
Another way of thinking about it too is like if the Disc Golf Network had a longer pre-show, right? So before tournament coverage starts, they started like a 30-minute pre-show prior. Like how many people are tuning into that? And again, obviously the number is going to be way lower than all
you're
the
saying
other
just percentage-wise
sports.
Though of
percentage-wise.
Like, well, like, we also have to be thinking like percentage of people who watch disc golf in general or percentage of people who are about to watch that disc golf coverage then.
No. Percentage of people that are going like if I was going to tune in to a basketball game,
yeah,
that I know comes on at 7 o'clock, they're like before the game comes on at 7, I can find somewhere that they're talking about the game leading up to it at like 6:45.
Yeah, typically the channel's about to come on. Yeah,
exactly. So like, what is the percentage of people that are tuning in at 6:45? You know, out of the people that are watching it at 7, that would be like an interesting thing.
I would say in disc golf, it'd probably be like 10% would do it.
So if there's 20,000 people watching live disc golf, 2,000 of them would tune in.
Okay, no, 5%
tune in.
5%. I take it back.
Yeah, 1,000 would tune. Yeah,
that's still tough. Because I mean,
and I wonder.
That's very interesting when you put it that way. Because like saying 1,000 people are going to be there 20 minutes early,
or the opposite, or the exact opposite of where they have a post show where they break down what they just saw.
They do have a post show, somewhat.
It's like a 5-minute show. It's not really a post show. They just cut to them in the booth.
Why call it really a post show if you're not going to have it be an actual post show? Side note.
I feel like the post show would be a lot more successful than the pre-show. A million times.
Especially if something just happened and you had like highlight packages and stuff to go through. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know if they do that.
They should.
I turn the coverage off when it's over after the pro who won got interviewed, which is like 3 seconds after he tapped out. I watched that interview for the 30 seconds and then I'm off.
I will say if you're tuning in like in the middle of coverage and you want to see like a recap of what happened, that kind of after show would be useful.
No, yeah, there,
would be
I think
helpful, you know?
I mean, obviously we talk about disc golf on Monday and we are kind of like a quote unquote post show.
Yeah.
And a lot of people care about Grip Locked, obviously. Right. So, I mean, there's obviously a market for it because storylines that happen during the tournament, people want to be talking about that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-round, I don't know, mainly because like if you look at disc golf viewership, it typically like as the round goes on and gets closer and closer, then like and it's more and more a nail biter. That's when you see live push over like 16,000-20,000 concurrent viewers. But if the round never gets tight and people aren't talking about it on social media and it's just like a runaway where someone's up 5 or 6 strokes, it never gets that high. But like the start of the round, you might only have like 5,000 people watching. The biggest thing that they would have to their advantage if they did it was if they did it all on the same stream and you just got a notification saying coverage was starting, like probably the same 5,000 people are going to tune in and it'd just be like, oh.
Yeah,
I'm watching a pre-show. I'll just leave that on the TV while I eat my pizza or whatever. Cause that's what I do for like a Duke game. I just turn on the pre-show while I'm eating dinner before the game starts, and I'll listen to them talk back and forth about the storyline and about the team that they're about to play, which in like disc golf would be the storylines, the course, you know, who had a hot round yesterday, what it's going to take to get in the lead, who's currently on the course with hot rounds, so on and so forth. Like, it could be very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what percentage it is.
It's not that it wouldn't be that hard to do either. Like it's not like you're putting a bunch more time into it. I feel like it's very easy to do.
The only tough part would be the turnaround between the FPO coverage because they have like the same core crew being the same play-by-play guy, either Terry or Ian. They have him doing both. That's the other thing is realistically what you should do is if they did a pre-show and a post-show, those shouldn't be the commentators.
Yeah.
Because, like, that never happens in other sports.
Right. I agree.
You never have, like, Jay Billis calling a game. When?
Sometimes.
When is the pre-show hosts also the commentators?
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah, they normally send it. So what the Disc Golf Network is doing right now is what a lot of like an NFL broadcast would do, where the game ends, they send it to the commentators. The commentators talk like for 2 or 3 minutes, and then they send it to like New York or wherever.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
They actually have like people. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Have something like that where they're sending it to someone else, where they have a host and an analyst and, you know, a past player. And they're going to this round table where they're going to talk. Yeah, there's nothing like that right now.
Yeah, that would be sick to have it. I feel like that wouldn't be too hard to accomplish. They just like right away do it. Because, I mean, interest-wise, like I stopped doing them just because life got busy. But I was doing those Twitter spaces, you know, right after every live round. I would go on Twitter spaces and just talk about what happened, who moved. A very just like guerrilla version of or ghetto rigged version of that, like a post round show, but basically just on Twitter spaces. And I mean, I was typically there would be like, I think the typical one was getting like 300 to 400 listens, which on Twitter spaces for my Twitter size, scale that up and put it on a platform like YouTube for the Pro Tour. That would be pretty popular. It just showed there was actually demand or interest in that. So. Now, back to your original question, the more I've thought about it, I think that if you took the percentage of listeners to football podcasts and compared it to the percentage of viewers of football on Sundays, I think it would be way higher than the percentage of listeners to disc golf and the percentage of viewers to disc golf. But if you took the football fans who are watching on Sunday and compared them directly, like how many of those specific people are listening? I think that disc golf would be way higher.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I think a lot of people are like me.
There's not too many people tune like the people that are watching this debate night right now live. We've got, I don't know, a couple hundred people in here.
Yeah,
I have a hard time believing that they're not going to either consume Masters Cup live. On Sunday, I think they're going to do it live.
Yeah,
or consume Masters Cup post product. Like they're going to watch the tournament.
Yeah,
I have a hard time believing someone that's listening right now is just like, yeah, I just love tuning in to you guys and listening to what you have to say, but I don't watch disc golf tournaments at all.
Like, yeah, I'd be surprised.
I think you're right.
They might exist.
I think you're right. There might be a couple, sure, but like. I think you're right in the sense of like people will listen and tune into like sports. You know, I watch like a betting, I listen to a betting podcast and they talk about all sorts of games and stuff that are happening. I maybe consume 5% of the sports they talk about.
Yeah.
But I still am very entertained with what they're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. I think there's a lot more people like that in general sports world. That because it's just bigger sports. I did see an interesting article. Someone shared it to me because they said it could be like an interesting talking point on Grip Locked. I think the article was a very interesting read, but I don't think it translated well to a podcast topic, if that made sense. But essentially, it was about the PGA Tour commissioner that took over in the 70s and ran the tour till the 90s. And apparently at the time in the 70s, bowling was getting more coverage on TV and like,
heck yeah,
than golf was. And well, then,
golf was only shown on the, like, golf was like not really shown on any of the popular networks for a while.
Yeah. Well, then by 94, when he left, apparently then like a lot of the tour structure and the media structure for the tour and the marketing structure. Like he made drastic changes from like 74 to 94. And since 94, there hasn't been like major changes to a lot of the structure he put in place, which was very interesting. It was a whole long article on basically like how he took golf from a niche sport to a mainstream sport coverage wise prior, like right before the Tiger era, essentially.
Mm.
Because when did Tiger start?
know, sometime in the 90s.
Yeah, because he left as commissioner in 94. So essentially he like set the platform that Tiger Woods could explode off of.
I feel like Tiger won like US AM. I feel like he won US AM right around that time.
Yeah.
Let me look it up. So I want to say 96, Tiger Woods, US AM. He went in 96. He did win it in 96.
Dang, look at you go.
Oh, no. But he also won in 94-95. But that was the year. Yeah, 96. Wait, what the heck? Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm right. I don't know.
But yeah, I thought it was a fascinating read. I don't remember the title of the article, but I'm sure you could look it up with what the information I just gave. But it was fascinating. I thought it was a lot of good correlations to like disc golf in general right now. Of like what he focused on, because like one of the biggest critiques apparently at the time was that he was focusing too much on like fundraising and bettering the tour, and not enough on the players. It was like his one of the biggest pushbacks and critiques.
Yeah, you got to build the personalities, man. You got to make it so people want to tune in and watch.
Yeah, so like he built out the structure of the tour so that when the ad money came in, they could actually handle and fulfill what was required of millions and millions of dollars. So when he came on, the total purses for the year was $8 million, and when he left 20 years later, the total purses were like almost $60 million. It was something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So it's basically like how he focused on the tour.
Wait, did you say $60 million?
The total for the year 94, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I was about to say.
Yeah. So it went from 8 total to 60 total. But like basically how he focused on building the tour, in turn then built the purses and everything else. So it was kind of like build it and they will come, that mindset. It was kind of like, I don't know, it was interesting just reading how golf went through it 40 years ago now, 50 years ago now.
We ready to talk about ratings updates or what?
What, are you serious?
No.
Okay, I was about to say, couldn't tell you anything about a ratings update.
All I know is I'm shout out to any professional. You know what? Actually, go right now. If you're listening to this, go right now to your favorite pro's Instagram and just post on their latest Instagram post and say, hey, just want to say thank you so much for not making a ratings post update. I just want to thank you for that.
But, I mean, I didn't
swear, man. It wasn't. I swear, last year, man, my Instagram feed was just flooded.
It was a
flooded
lot.
Every Tuesday. It was just flooded with every pro.
First Tuesday of every month.
Dang.
I'm 1020 rated. Woo! 1022.
We're doing better.
Up 2 points.
We're doing better, guys.
I still see it from AMs, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like that, no, that makes sense.
That's who it should be for. Who it should be for.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. When I scroll through Facebook and I see it for like an AM that went up like 7 to 10 points, I'm like, heck yeah.
That's
back.
That's a great way. Yeah, that's a great way of showing that you, especially too, a lot of times AMs, you're playing the same roughly courses, I'm assuming. You know, you're probably not traveling around that much playing different tournaments. So that's a real good indication that, hey, I've improved.
Yeah,
so
I'm improving. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Let's
Speaking
hop
of AM's ratings, what's your rating, dude?
Me? I actually just looked. I went down.
Is Trevor getting dangerously close?
No. Come on. I will stop playing well before. I'm 971.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Trevor is
Trevor's still in like the 940s.
Trevor's at 934. So,
yikes.
Realistically, I should be beating Trevor by 4 strokes every time we play.
Hey, Silas, what do you think of this new series I came up with?
What?
Where I put you through a boot camp and I try to get you, what'd we say?
900 rated.
900? I try to get you 900 rated.
I think we go 930. I think you try to get him higher rated than Trevor is right now. 935 rated by the end of the year.
Well, Trevor's going to start practicing.
No, I know.
Saying just right
I'm
now,
saying like right now. Like if you can get Silas by the end of this year to be higher rated than Trevor is right now.
Oh.
That'd be impressive.
That's
the thing is, Silas Sias has to commit to it, though.
No, like, yeah.
That's a lot of time and commit. Effort on top of his part.
There's a lot of commitment going on in this office to getting better at disc golf. Trevor and I just started a new Patreon series where we did our baseline test. It hasn't come out on Patreon yet. It's coming out probably this week or next week, where we went out and did our baseline test of putting, distance, and accuracy. And then we are going to separately vlog our experience over the next 3 months.
Dude, we'll see about that.
Of us doing field work. Well, I mean, we have to, because like one of us is going to do it, and if the other person doesn't,
That's what you said about the gym. Oh,
one of us is still going to the gym, and I stopped going to the gym so that I could run more because I enjoy running more than the gym. Anything else, Silas? Any other clapbacks? You got anything else for me? All right,
I don't think so.
3 months, right? And the issue is like, if Trevor does it and I don't, I will just never win a video again. So I don't have an option. I have to do it. And so does he, because we will both do it. And we're going to vlog individually, separately, and post those on Patreon over those 3 months. And then the third month, we're going to go back and do our baseline test again and see how much we improved.
All right. Brody, I will commit to it. I will commit to that. By the end of the year?
9:34, end of the year.
Sauce needs to come down in the off season for like a week or two.
There you go.
All right. I might have to make that happen.
I can't come up there. It's going to be terrible weather in the off
season. No, in October and November, it'll be fine. So you come up here October, November, give Silas stuff to work on. Then Silas will come with us to Dallas in like January.
There we go.
Well, end of the year. We'll go start of the season. So when Brody leaves for the tour, you have to play a tournament.
Okay.
That way we give a full off season of you grinding it out. You play a tournament and you'll get your rating, and we'll see what it is.
Okay.
We'll have to do it at Fallen Creek, his old stomping ground.
His old stomping. Your first rated round out there, Silas, ended at 797.
That's brutal.
Which you're better than that. That's why I'm saying we can't do 900, because I would say Silas is getting close to 900 rated as is.
Hey, that Foundation versus the Nation, that went pretty well.
I was just about to say, wait for Foundation versus the Nation. Silas clutched up for us a couple times.
Coming out May 19th.
Ooh.
Nine days from now.
Yeah.
What else is happening? I think I'm closing on my house May 19th.
Oh.
Why does that number sound right?
No idea. Might be.
Something's happening May 19th.
I think Foundation versus the Nation's coming out. You were just so excited, you made a mental note.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I mean, I think there's something else.
All right, Silas, let's get a few topics from the chat or questions from the chat to wrap out the show here. What do we got?
What happened to the voice messages? Did we just X-nay that whole thing?
I mean, I stopped doing them when you came up. I don't know when I stopped doing them. I don't know. I can check it. I haven't checked it in a while. To be honest with you, I forgot they existed until you just said that.
Hunter, what happened with your ball golf career? Andrew wants to know. When's the last time you hit a golf ball?
It's been 2 months. It's been a solid 2 months. I did.
That's
my
all
wife
needs to be said.
My wife got me a like chipping game for my birthday. That's like a rug that goes down, and then you have this little mat to hit off of, and then you have like balls with Velcro wrapped around them. And so I've been playing that at home, and I'm pretty filthy at it. So. I might be back. My brother-in-law, who's the main guy I was playing golf with this winter, he got really busy with school, so he stopped playing. And then Trevor hasn't played a ton because he's a father now. Brody's not here. So, like, what, am I going to go to the golf course by myself?
Yeah, Connor's got his clubs now.
How many times do you think Connor swung those clubs?
Oh, hundreds.
Zero. So, my brother-in-law, though, just ended.
Social sport.
Yeah, my brother-in-law just got out of school for the summer, and he was like, I was like, what are your plans this summer? He's like, I'm playing golf. I was like, no, like anything else? No, I'm playing golf. So I'm gonna get back into golf, because like, if he's going out to the course, he's gonna text me, and I can only say no to so many texts to go play golf. So I'm gonna end up playing golf.
Oh my god, it is the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's May.
Oh my gosh.
Brody. Oh, Jeffrey,
I didn't even realize what part of the year we're in right now.
Yeah.
I just completely forgot about that.
Mid-May.
What happened to spring?
You blinked and it was gone. Realistically, what happened to spring is you were in the Midwest and it was really windy and cold, so it probably just didn't feel like the spring.
Yeah, in Virginia we have spring.
Yeah, we had a full spring. Things were in bloom. It was mid-60s, a little 70s.
There was pollen everywhere. We were all sneezing.
Yeah, it was great.
I knew it was May. I just didn't know.
There's still pollen everywhere. Yeah. We're still all sneezing.
Oh, my gosh. Summer just gone in 60 seconds.
Summer starts in June, but school's officially out. Like, college is officially out, at least.
Yeah. Not up here. There's still these kids grinding on these fields up here.
Oh, dang. I did. We had some Liberty baseball players stop in the shop earlier today when they were on their way to get pizza, and they're still in the season, apparently. So I don't know when their season's over.
Stop by the shop, baby. Hottest place in town.
All right, Silas, what do we got? What we got in the chat?
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully the chat's the hottest place in town.
We'll see about that. Jeffrey wants to know, Brody, do you think your game's getting better with the practice rounds with Ezra? What do you think?
Yeah, I obviously playing with Ezra has definitely helped for sure. I think my biggest thing is just the mindset, like we've talked about before. But yeah, no, surrounding myself with good people has been good so far this season. So I'm happy with it.
Nice. Maddie says, thoughts on how growth of pay-to-play courses goes over the next few years. What do y'all think?
You sound like a robot. You sound like a robot. What did you say?
He said, thoughts on how pay-to-play courses grow over the next few years.
Oh.
I think they'll become more and more popular. I'll hold this until I'm dead. I don't think pay-to-play will ever be the main or majority of disc golf courses, just because the majority of like disc golf courses are in parks and stuff where like they're already maintaining and everything, and you can just put a basket in and it doesn't increase their maintenance, but it drives way more traffic to the park, which is what parks want. So like a lot of disc golf courses are going to be on public land and going to be free to play. But I do think that as disc golf gets bigger, there's a disc golf tourism market where you can have a disc golf complex, or you can have three or four properties around town that are all pay to play and make a sustainable business out of it. Are we there yet? I think in certain areas, yeah. I think that a course in like a disc golf complex in like Charlotte or Dallas or Clearwater, Florida, or somewhere like Minnesota, I saw there's a ton of courses and there's a ton of disc golfers, but you need somewhere where you can play 12 months out of the year for it to really work. So Charlotte's even a little questionable with that, but I think somewhere where there's like three or four courses, they're all pay to play, they all reach different audiences, and they're all just like immaculate. And then you have a nice pro shop that's also like a like quick eat restaurant, like, you know, pretzels, hot dogs, stuff like that.
Pretzels.
You don't want a pretzel?
Go-to?
That's my go-to. If there's a pretzel anywhere, I will buy it and I will eat it. Period. I love pretzels. Oh, no. Pretzels with cheese.
Pretzel seems more like a concession stand, like at something that you're like going to watch a game.
Well, that's what I was saying. Just like a quick, like, I don't think that disc golf isn't going to be like you have a meal, like you sit down.
Pretzel's a weird one.
I don't think.
Hot dog, you're.
What do people think? What do people think in the chat?
Hot dog.
Are you stopping mid-round for a pretzel?
Pretzel's weird.
What, is that the chat saying? Hot dog, you're saying?
Yeah,
the right.
Yeah, the chat's saying that.
I don't buy that for a second. You're saying that, Silas. The chat.
Well, we're also delayed, so the chat hasn't even had time. Well,
when the chat has time to hear a pretzel, they're going to want a pretzel after hole nine. Regardless, I think that model is sustainable. You know, $10 around, 15 on the weekend, something like that.
Uncrustable. That's what I want.
Uncrustable. Too. But yeah. I do think it's a very specific market now. I think that over the next several years, it'll get bigger and bigger. I think the Pro Tour will head more private and private course-wise or pay-to-play courses. And I think that'll be a big draw for these courses, is like that's the home of whatever tournament. Like Maple Hill, for instance. Like, I am dying to play Maple Hill. I can't wait. We're going to play it this summer. Can't wait. Like that type of a thing. The reason I can't wait is I see it year after year after year. And I think that there's starting to be a big enough audience that Maple Hill obviously has the Christmas tree farm and stuff going on. They have to in Massachusetts. But a course in a Florida or Dallas or California or you know, anywhere that you can play year round, that's a highly populated area that you can also now have a pro tour stop at because the course is nice enough. That type of a course, I think we're at the point where ran perfectly in ideal conditions can make it. And a few years from now, we'll easily be able to make it. And I think that that'll be just like nice additions to the area where you can go play, you know, your fun park course for free, or you can have a great experience for like 10, 15 bucks.
So apparently people like pretzels.
Yeah, of course people like pretzels.
Well, I like pretzels. That wasn't the
argument.
Disc golf
course, the argument wasn't, is the pretzel good or not? No, you better believe when I go by Auntie Anne's in the airport, it is very difficult.
Get your $25 pretzel.
The chat has spoken.
What I'm saying is for a pretzel to be good, it takes a lot of effort. Now, if you're talking about, let's just throw those crappy pretzels in the microwave and serve that.
No.
That's what Hunter's talking about.
Have the spinner. You know what I'm talking about?
That's very hard to have at a golf pro shop. Like,
It's easy to have in a baseball stadium, but hard to have at a golf pro shop?
No, I think baseball stadiums. How? Are we talking about like high school baseball stadiums?
Wait, Brody. What?
What are you talking
about?
What
baseball stadiums are you talking about?
Name one.
At high school baseball games, they 100% do the microwave pretzels.
Yeah, but like they have like the ones on a, like it sits on a table. It's like a glass case, right? It's just sitting here.
And it just spins.
Pretzels are spinning. You have pizza below it spinning. It's just keeping them warm. There's a brand.
That's at a high school football game?
No, but it's at my golf. That's at my disc golf pro shop. I have one of those.
Okay. Yeah, but that, okay.
Why not?
My point is that that's it. Sure. Okay.
And you're not buying one of those? You're making the corner and you're not buying a pretzel. You walk in there, it's spinning in your face, glistening in the sun, salt all over it, and you're not buying one?
I kind of want a hot dog. Like when I'm making the turn, a hot dog is like, if they have a good hot dog, ooh, I'm feeling it.
But I feel like hot dogs and pretzels are the same category as food. Like, if you got one, most of the time you have the other. What scenario are you, what, like, other than a hot dog stand, where are you going somewhere where you can't get a pretzel, but you can get a hot dog?
Like, pretzel might give me a little bit of heartburn if I'm playing disc golf. Maybe not.
Where are you getting a hot dog you can't get a pretzel? That's not a hot dog stand.
The movie theater.
Where?
You can get a pretzel at a movie theater.
I know, you can't get a hot dog.
Did I say pretzel? I meant hot dog. You can get both there. I'm saying, where can you get a hot dog?
They have hot dogs at the movie theater?
Most.
Heck yeah.
Should I Google that? Where can you get a hot dog that you can't get a pretzel?
Nothing's going to pop up. Well, I mean, I can tell you tons of places. Most restaurants.
You can get a hot dog. What restaurants are you eating at?
There's tons of restaurants that have hot dogs for like on the kids menu.
Okay, well, if we're talking kids, menu.
What about like Skyline? What about Skyline? Don't they have hot dogs?
What is that?
I don't know what Skyline is. Chili?
Isn't it Skyline Chili?
Skyline Chili.
I think they have hot dogs there, but they don't have pretzels.
Download menu. I'm looking at their menu.
Pretty sure.
You're downloading a menu?
Well, that's what I have to do. All right, they have hot dogs.
I don't think they have a pretzel. Someone
brings up a good point. Why don't we just have cold sandwiches?
First try. There's hot dogs there and there's no pretzels at Skyline.
Skyline Chili, baby. Hey, you ain't from the Midwest unless you know Skyline Chili. Cincy, represent.
I got to give it to him. What else we got, Silas? I don't think people want to hear us debate hot dog versus pretzel anymore.
No.
Although I am tweeting. I am tweeting a poll.
Oh, I mean, that's not even a question. It's pretzel all the way. No one likes hot dogs.
Wait, are you literally going to say hot after dogs nine holes of disc?
I'll say...
No, what? Hot dog's going to crush pretzel.
No, are you saying no, after no. Nine are you kidding me?
Should I say mid-disc golf round, what are you picking?
Yeah.
Say mid-disc golf round.
I'm going to say mid-disc golf round, what are you picking? And then I'm going to just have hot dog pretzel.
Pretzel's winning by a million. Guaranteed.
All right.
I even put hot dog first in the poll, so more people even be more inclined to.
It matters.
All right, mid disc golf round. What are you picking, hot dog or pretzel? All right, if you're in the chat right now, don't leave the show to go vote. But if you're watching us on your computer, pull up your phone.
Mid round, I feel like a hot dog I feel like hot dogs go with give me like the burps. You know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking a pretzel and I'm just picking at it the rest of the round.
We're talking what? About a, we're talking about
at a it? Where are you putting at where are you putting a pretzel?
My putter
throwing?
Pouch. Inside my putter. What it's like a pretzel holder.
You're saying you have like a thing inside. Okay. You're saying the pretzel's in some sort of bag.
It's
something.
In the, like a normal bag, like you get anywhere.
It's also a lot easier to carry a pretzel than a hot dog. Much more convenient
to carry a
pretzel.
False. What are you talking about?
Also,
because you just pull the pretzel apart.
Yeah, and most of the time with a hot dog, you want condiments. You want ketchup
dog.
On there.
You want chili.
Yeah.
You want...
How are you walking around the disco? You got to throw on the next hole. You have a bunch of ketchup in your
hand. Yeah, you're scarfing that thing down.
Yeah. I mean, is the pretzel the perfect disc golf snack?
Well, no.
No.
Name one better.
You're talking like Cliff
Hot
Bar.
Hot dog. All right. Hot dogs winning 57-43. We're early though. We're early.
I'm gonna get a dyed disc that's gonna have a pretzel on it.
Have you finished my dyed disc, Silas?
No. I did one today though,
and it's sold already.
So that was cool.
That's gonna give you the best freaking promotion out there.
Hey man, I got more supplies coming. It's gonna be
What color are you doing? What color are you doing?
What's your favorite color? I don't think I know it.
He wants blue and orange.
I don't really have a
little
favorite
Florida
color.
Gator action.
Give him a gator color.
Oh, you could make all a right. Stick blue and orange one. That would be kind of sick, actually. I have my Ohio State Meteor, so that'd be sweet. They have a little blue and orange one action.
Okay. I can do that.
What else we got? We got any other questions? I feel like nothing really happened this past week in disc golf. I feel like it was just like a blah, dead disc golf week. Like no story, like no storylines.
No.
Right?
No
one's
grip,
talking.
There wasn't too much.
If
grip
you
block
have
was pretty
a topic, leave it in the chat. Because we would love to talk
was
about
our
it.
Store opening the biggest storyline of disc golf last week?
Oh, definitely.
There's a question.
Definitely top 20. Top 20 for sure.
Did Alden Harris won the challenge at Goat Hill? That was an A tier.
I know, but that's like not like a real tournament.
All right. Well, you ask me.
Like anything. No, I'm saying it's a good win for sure. It's a good win. I'm just saying like there's going to come
that's
a time.
That's why Calvin Heimberg went down in the world ranking. Alden Harris beat him. That's what it was.
Calvin Heimberg was not at Goat Hill.
I think he was.
What kind of journalist are you?
I'm someone who's being questioned under fire right now.
He was not at Goat Hill.
I'm trying to figure out he wasn't at Goat Hill. How was Dickerson? Where was Chris Dickerson?
He was no one played Goat Hill.
But did Dickerson play something? I'm just trying to figure out in these world rankings why Dickerson and Heimberg flipped.
I feel like Judas said that in the article.
Oh, maybe. That would be smart.
Didn't he say that those two switched and it was something there was I feel like he said that. Because he texted me initially and was like, hey, is this good to post? Like, is this am I good to go?
Another notable move you may have noticed is Chris Dickerson and Calvin Heimberg swapping position. Neither of them played last week, but Chris has a higher percentage of his total points coming from this year than Calvin does. Knowing this and the fact that as more time passes, the steeper the drop-off points via time decay
that's
occurs.
That's what it is. Decay,
we're left in this
time
situation.
Decay.
So time decay.
He got
decayed.
He
Calvin
got time
Heimberg
decayed.
Plays. He got time decayed, baby. He said... I didn't read this paragraph. I should have. This is hilarious. Judah said, I saw a lot of comments where people thought Kyle was ranked too high, and then this week he went to beat Joel Freeman and Aaron Gossage, who've been having great seasons.
Boom, get lit. Roasted.
Get lit.
That was
get.
A straight boom roasted towards you.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's funny.
No, I think obviously like people are still going to talk about, you know, there's going to be some people that talk about those tournaments, but I don't think we talk about those tournaments at all.
No, I didn't.
You guys do whatever you want. You guys do whatever you want on Grip Locked, but I think like...
I didn't talk about the Goat Hill. We didn't even mention it happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was happening until I saw Prodigy post about Alden Harris winning.
Yeah, if it's not on the pro tour, it's like... Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go from Trenton. What is the best part of opening the new store and the worst part?
The best part.
I'll go first.
Okay, cool.
I'll go first. Best part for sure was like the interaction with everyone that came in. So, I mean, obviously it was a little bit different because it was kind of like a signing or whatnot, right? So like I'm there specifically to meet people, sign discs, take photos. So obviously a little bit different than maybe like the day to day, but that was the coolest part, is just hearing how far some people drove, hearing when people started watching my YouTube videos, and just seeing on the overall excitement that people had towards disc golf throughout the store, like seeing people go over to the used section and like finding cool discs and getting stoked. Like all that was like the coolest part. I think the most difficult part, I feel like I really didn't do much of anything other than like Hunter would like send me pictures of updates of like, hey, this is what we're thinking, this is what it's looking like. But I didn't do any of like grunt work, which I'm sure was probably a lot of time and effort. So for me, the most difficult part was probably just like the little stress that I had of like, oh my gosh, what if like no one shows up? Like the anticipation of the opening was probably like the most difficult part. Cause I wasn't really doing any of the grunt work, the actual hard part.
I think for me, the best part and the worst part are the exact same thing, which is the use section. Because the best part of the use section is every day I get to just see more goodies that people are bringing in. The worst part is every day I want more goodies that people brought in. And it's a very, very hard line. Like today, for instance, someone rolled up and first off brought me a gift, which was extremely nice. They brought me a 10-time Casey Pro Rock, which is in great condition. It has ink on it, but they found it at a used section and bought it and brought it to me, which is incredible. So that went straight in my bag. But then they also turned in a bunch of old Innova, not even old Innova, a bunch of Innova that, because they're switching their bag to all Discraft, and so they turned in a bunch of Innova.
Yeah.
And
heck yeah.
They had a Halo Destroyer. They had, some of these are still on the shelf, actually. They had a Halo Destroyer. They had a Tour Series Leopard 3 that was stamped as a Tour Series T-Bird 3, which was insane. They had a Halo T-Bird. They had a KJ Naibo T-Bird. And then they had one other cool disc, and like not taking all of those was the hardest thing I did. And I hid one. I hid the Halo Destroyer so I could think about it. And then I go back like 2 hours later.
What do you mean you hid it?
I mean, I hid it in the U section. I put it behind like, all the discs. Yeah. You had to go through like 3 DXBs to get to it. And I go back out there 2 hours later and Silas had sold it.
No, I think it's still out there.
I've searched that U section, Silas.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Silas either stole it or Silas either sold it or he let someone steal it. Both of which are Silas's fault.
Did you man the store a little bit today, Silas?
Yeah, I've been in there.
Silas is a store man.
I've been in there Monday, so yesterday and today. It was really fun. There's a lot of new people. There's a lot of new people in the sport, and it's really cool to interact with them and just kind of figure out, you know, their needs in their bag and just get them set on the right path with a disc selection. So it's been really fun.
So if I walked into the store, right, you'd probably greet me. You would say something like, hey, how's it going? I'd be like, oh, it's going well.
We actually have a yell, welcome to Foundation.
Yeah. Like, every time. Like it's bow time, but like Foundation themed.
Do you immediately ask if they need help or do you wait for them to peruse a little bit and like kind of just stare at the disc for a little bit and then you bounce in or what?
Yeah, usually you can tell them apart. Usually if they're really wide-eyed and just like looking everywhere, that means they need some help. And that's perfectly okay. And then you got people that are there for, oh, like I want my roach. Like, where are the roaches and where are the Zeuses? You know, so you got those people. Yeah, those are like the two kinds of people. You know, there's a third type of person where they're into disc golf and they don't really know what they want. They're just coming to look, and that's great too. But yeah, you can definitely tell, and you know, I'll let them peruse around a little bit because that's always good.
Yeah.
It's always good to see what's
I will
what's
say,
out there.
So like I work, I'm like back of this computer, right, behind the wall. And so I can a lot of times hear kind of what's going on out there. And so every once in a while, someone will come in and they'll be like, hey, how's it going? I really need a disc to fill this slot. And Silas has been 100% so far. He hasn't missed one.
Heck yeah.
I've been impressed. There's been a few that they've asked for, like, I forget exactly what it was, but someone was asking, I think it was something with a understable mid, or I forget what it was. There was something that...
Meteor.
No, he actually went soul. He went Meteor first, then asked about like their arm speed or something, and pivoted to the soul after, which was a perfect decision.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
nice.
There was a few like curveballs that were thrown at him, and he handled them all. I was like, wow, all right. Silas knows more than I thought out there.
Boom.
I need to send in a plant.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
A what?
Someone that just walks in and asks you the most ridiculous question for recommendation.
Yeah.
That'd be incredible.
I need to send in like an actor or something that just is like out of control.
It's like that show. What's that show called? Undercover
Boss.
Yeah.
We send someone in, he like fills up the plastic. It's like, so what polymers are used to make this? And so I was like, I'm not sure. So if I were to throw it on Heiser at 52 miles per hour, what's this one gonna fly like for me? I don't know. Do you know anything?
It's actually
What?
I thought you.
Silas stopped as you started talking.
Yeah.
You know how like people go to like McDonald's or whatever, and they order like a cone, and they grab the top where the ice cream is.
Yeah,
I want like someone to go in and buy it. Like you have them like walk them through really heavily the exact disc they want, and then like after 10 minutes they finally buy it, and then they literally just like pull out like a plastic shredder. And then they just like shred the entire disc in like those little pellets of plastic, and then just walk out and see what you do.
Oh, jeez!
I'm just gonna melt this plastic down.
It would be really funny to like. This hasn't happened yet, but it almost happened to me a few times where like someone's come in, has asked for like super detailed like what they're looking for, what their current like. We walk through like, oh, so like how far are you currently throwing? What disc is currently working well for you? Yada yada yada, and like what they're looking for that next step to be, and then you recommend a disc or two, and I'm just waiting because I know it'll happen for someone to come in, and they do that whole thing, and I land on like, oh, the Vulture is exactly what you're looking for, and I hand them a Vulture. I'm like, yeah, we have it in this plastic, and they feel them up. They're like, oh, okay, great, thanks so much. I'm like, yeah, and then I walk away, and then they go to check out, and they just like grabbed a Thunderbird or something that's just like in the same category, like they're looking for the same disc, but just completely ignored the like 10-minute conversation. You're just like, okay, like, yeah, wow, awesome, thanks so much. And then they're just like, all right, well, that guy's stupid. And then you just grab a different disc.
They're like, oh, this one looks cooler.
Yeah.
Let's workshop this real quick. And maybe some people aside, so you can pull some ideas from the chat.
Okay.
I want something like, it was so cool going into like an ice cream shop where you'd get, it's called the kitchen sink. Now, obviously, lot of different ice cream shops do this.
You just get everything in it.
It's basically like a bucket of ice cream. And if you can sit down and finish it, you get like your name on the wall. What can we do to have some sort of like Hall of Fame kind of thing like that in our store where you can potentially do something?
You ace hole three, something. Ace hole three at Peaks View and send us a video and you get your picture on the wall.
Ooh.
Okay.
We were thinking about like the Connor patch, right? Like we make a patch and you get it. But like the issue is like how many people are actually going to do that? But that is very easy because like you just go to CVS and you print out a picture. Like that's easy as can be.
Someone said 100 putts in a row.
We don't have a super great spot to putt. Yeah. Or else that'd be fun.
Well, no, wouldn't that would take forever? And you just hear people.
That's true. You just hear ching, ching, ching.
I know that in the store it's really reverby too.
Yeah, so it would just be never mind. That would suck.
I like that. Have a video
of you acing hole three at Peaks View, because like everyone who comes to the store is either local or they're visiting.
You get your name on the wall and one free used disc.
There you go.
Okay.
Boom.
Because you got to have like something else. Because I do think. Like the name on the wall is great, but like I think you go name on the wall and a free used disc.
Do we go name or picture?
Someone says speed test wall. Highest speed stays on the wall. It's like your arm speed.
No.
Highest, like, you know, we have that radar thing.
We'd have to have like a net outside to put up.
I like my ace hole.
Yeah.
I like that.
What are we calling it? The Connor Challenge? The foundation?
I don't know what to call it.
The retail challenge?
The easiest one, but it's not fully PG. Call it the foundation ace holes, and then you just have them below in pictures.
Yes. Yes. Oh, the ace holes. Oh, my gosh.
And we just have our wall of ace holes.
I love that. These are the foundation ace holes. Love that.
There we go. That's
perfectly on brand.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, man.
Yeah, here's a question.
All right.
What if, is there a thing that is disc golf specific radar gun? That you like put on your, because I know they make that one for baseball.
You like put on your arm.
But what if you could reprogram that for disc
golf? So there is something, I don't know if it still exists, but it was a disc that had like a microchip in it on the bottom. It was a little bubble.
That's fantastic.
That was on the bottom. And the issue was you had to use that disc. They hadn't made it where you could attach it to any disc. But it measured like RPM, speed, stuff like that, angle. It was really cool. So like that existed. But that other than that, most of it is just like a radar gun like detects an object moving over it or away from it or to it or something like that. So you can just use ones that are in baseball and football and any other sport because it's going to detect the disc. So there's no real need for a specific one unless you're making technology that goes onto the disc that can tell you, like I was saying, RPM, the release angle, I did a video on that one time. That did what? Like the 3D, like they tracked you or they like put something on the bottom?
They put something on the bottom of the disc that tracked all that stuff.
I feel like that'd be a really good training aid.
No, it would for sure. It'd be really cool because you could test out how consistent you could release on the same angle and learn your bag a lot better too. And you could learn how to control your spin because controlling your spin controls the flight of discs a lot because you can like slow your arm but speed up your wrist to have like a slow flight that still flips up. Or you can speed up your arm and slow your wrist to make like a flippy disc, be able to still go far without flipping up and over. And like being able to tell your RPMs when you release and stuff would be crucial for that.
That's really cool.
All right, let's get one more, Silas, then we'll wrap the show up.
All right. We need a good one.
I'm about to pass out, man.
How are you about to pass out? It's 6:30 there.
Yeah. Hunter's about to pass
out.
I'm about to pass out.
It's 9:30.
I woke up at 6 o'clock for our meeting this morning.
We didn't call you till seven.
Oof.
Okay. Well, I woke up earlier to be ready for it.
There we go. All right. That's fair. You got nothing, Silas?
There's nobody in the.
All right. Takes a lot out of you, man.
That's it, then. We're wrapping it up. No one's got nothing. We're wrapping it up.
You've been daylighted.
Your energy has been daylighted. It's rolled. It's sitting in the fridge on that hole they got rid of. All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's debate night. Be sure to head over to Twitter and vote on my poll, hot dog versus pretzel. That's crucial information. I will go ahead and let you know that.
Should we do a dark
hot
horse
dog is absolutely hot dogs murdering pretzel. So
yeah,
that sucks
because people aren't psychopaths. Should we do a dark horse debate night next week?
What does that mean?
I potentially might be staying in a Airbnb with the likes of Ezra, Mason, Valerie, Alexis, Judah. Do we do like a round table debate night?
I mean, yeah, why not? How do we do that? I'll just be the panel host and I'll ask questions.
Heck yeah.
Silas is the judge of who did the better job.
Okay. Oh, y'all are all debating each other?
Yeah.
And we could decide who has the best debate.
What I'll do is I'll try to find. Okay, I'll figure it out.
Silas, I feel like I murdered both of you tonight. Like,
no,
it was an absolute.
Are you kidding me? On what?
Skyline chili.
Okay, we don't have that here.
Hot dog versus pretzel.
Pretzel's gonna come back.
There was another thing. There's
not over. It's not over till it's over, man.
Murdered you guys on.
Oh,
James Conrad having a good season so far.
Well, I didn't have any. Lot. I didn't say anything for that one.
Well, good season and being top five in the world are two different things.
He's not top five.
Thank you, Silas. Thank you.
There's no way he's top five.
World ranking number five.
He was
James
a world champion. He won
Conrad.
One of the two.
Yeah, he won one tournament. One of the two majors. Won one tournament. Want a cookie?
He did decent in a couple. He won a major. He won the world championship,
saying,
the greatest tournament
ever.
That
was so long ago. That was nine months ago. 9 months.
Want a cookie? Want a cookie?
All right, that wraps it up. That's debate night. We'll talk to you.
James Conrad haters.
Man. I love James Conrad. I throw the Nomad. I putt with the Nomad. The Terror is about to go in my bag. I am a James Conrad stan. And as a James Conrad stan, I have to be realistic. As a James, he's from an hour and a half away. As a James, please don't do that. As a James Conrad stan, I have to admit he's overrated in Judah's rankings. We'll talk to you next week.
Hair. Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.